Hello and welcome to episode 39 of Nintendo Podcast Systems with me, Sam Barnes, and as always are my co-hosts Jack Gorn and Matthew Gibson.
Hello.
Evening.
And we are recording this on the 22nd of February, just to date stamp that, so 9 days till the Switch.
It's the final. It's the final countdown.
It's the final furlong.
Oh dear. Europe. Wow. That's a highbrow start to the podcast.
Oh dear. Okay.
So it's been. We need to get back into like doing it every 2 weeks. Because it's been like 3 weeks since I won with Dan, and like our second, if not third, overall in the year so far, which is not good.
Terrible.
It's not. Yeah.
We should do better.
Yeah.
Go down.
It's because we're trying to find all that juicy news for you lovely people, so we can
not
cram
really.
It into a really nice episode.
It's because we're lazy, Sam. No way of hiding it.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So like the first one of the year was like just before the Switch event that was published January 12th, and then our last one with. Dan's Distillery. That was published on February 4th, and we're recording this 18 days later. That's almost 3 weeks ago. No. Anyway.
Terrible.
Indeed. So we need to get back into the regular schedule, but here we are with episode 39. Just 11 more until the big 50, which we'll get in about 3 years' time. Right.
Wow. Shall we move on to the lovely news?
Indeed, but before we do that, Jack, what is our opening music to episode 39?
Our opening music is Mulgira Boss Battle from Wind Waker, which is the giant bird thing which kidnaps your sister at the start. So, yeah. That thing. Right. Hope you enjoyed it. Maybe.
Alright. Was it? I thought it was like that, wait, no, that's not Mulgira.
Yeah.
No, this is Mulgira right here. Hold on.
Matt's having a conflict.
No, because of all the times I, like, listen to that song, the picture always comes up with that boss.
Mulgira.
Oh, he's already shit. Damn it, I was so close to getting there first.
Oh, maybe it's a different one then. I'm confused. I thought it was, no, maybe it's the both. I think it plays with both of them.
All right.
So maybe I'm getting confused.
Who knows?
I'm confused.
Oh,
let me find
knows.
Out what the giant bird's called. While we're doing that, go and do the news.
All right. Well, Jack is doing that. Let's move on to the news section.
Sploosh! 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 Kaboom!
And and here we are in the news section. Jack, have you found out what the giant
He gave me like a second.
No, I didn't.
I know all the podcast listeners are going to be like, oh my God, we've got like a little delay there. But no, you gave me 1 second to try and find it. Wow. Yeah, it is called...
It's called Helmarok.
Helmarok King.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, so there you are, folks. That's what Jack thought he was referring to.
He's too slow!
God damn you.
Ah, it's a Sonic pun against
you. But that's fun anyway. There you go, anyway, music. Done.
Right. sorted. A decent amount of news ran about the past week. First of all, someone did leak, or apparently leaked, the Switch's UI and so on, because apparently Dave got it early. However, it has been revealed that he stole it from an anonymous source and was trying to sell it illegally online.
Yes.
Don't sell Switches, kids.
Yeah, not before the release date, especially. From what I understand is, the guy was working at a distribution warehouse in America. He then stole one of the Switches and sold it to a customer. And basically that customer then showed off the UI. And then that then all followed on. And then the guy who sold it originally got arrested. It's now under investigation. And the Switch has been returned to Nintendo. So, yes.
Very interesting, though. So, did you guys get a look at the UI then, or...?
I didn't, because I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Oh, okay.
I have seen it, yeah.
See, that's the problem, because I feel that we should talk about it, but I don't think I want to spoil Sam.
Yeah, I don't mind personally.
Talk
is one thing, see is another.
Fair enough.
It's clean and it's easy access level one there. And
but
it doesn't
seem Nintendo, though. I don't know.
But sometimes you've got to make a change.
I don't know if you've seen the news for this, actually, now you mention it, because I totally forgot. Themes will be available on the Switch.
Yeah, I saw that too.
As well as icons, if I'm not mistaken.
It does look kind of bland when you first look at it, but if you can go and buy whatever theme you want in the future, like you can on the 3DS, I don't see there being any problem.
I was going to say.
But like I said, it's very easy to use for the looks of it. And
it looks clean.
Yeah, very clean. So.
And it looks slick, and it does
and
really
the games
nice.
Are straight there in your face straight away, so you can click them straight away and go into it without having to hunt around for that kind of thing, moving about, but yeah, all pretty good.
Alright.
I'm looking forward to it personally, so...
Well, actually, on the topic, I believe this may have came from a quote from Nintendo, I'm not too sure, but when you said, don't want to spoil myself. I think that was one of the comments that we won't be getting a Nintendo Switch Direct. So it wasn't basically deconfirming it altogether, but I was like, we're waiting forward just to see when consumers get it at launch. I think they're going to have a good time finding out all what Switch has to offer when they get it in their hands. Which is like, I guess that makes sense, but you want to let your consumer know what they're getting into. But then again, it is just like UI and all that, so I don't see a terrible need for UI, not UI, for Direct to be shown off just for that. Probably the biggest piece of news, very unexpected as well, last week it was announced that The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild will be receiving DLC, which is the first in the entire series... In the mainline series, at least, because Triforce Heroes got...
I was going to say, objection, but you've already filled that in, so...
Yeah. But this is like the first time in the mainline Zelda game, and one that's good all the way through. So basically what it is a season pass. So when you get it, you get a little bonus of free chests, with one of them being a Nintendo Switch t-shirt.
Because Link definitely needs that to survive the wilds.
I know, it is a bit odd, but I'm just like kind of indifferent on it, really. I just won't use it, really, then. But I may, who knows.
Unless it has some special ability.
Yeah, and it comes with other items as well that will help you out on your journey early on in the game. So that will be available right for you from the get-go. But it's more of a bonus, really. More of like an enticement, almost. Pack 1 will launch in summer and will come with a new Cave of Trials, a new hard
pack
mode,
2.
And a new map feature as well. And then in Pack 2, in winter, there will be brand new original story, a new dungeon, and new challenges. And all of that will cost $20, €20, or £18.
All of that?
Hmm.
That's not too bad then, really. I thought it was each pack, but...
Right, there's a lot to digest here, really. I think, from my point of view, Pack 2 is the only one that's of any value to me, because it's a new original story, a new dungeon, whereas the bonus of the chest, I think some people are just seeing it as like, oh, that's another like DLC thing. It's like, well, that's just a bonus, because it's just like extra chests, really. Yeah. And I like chests.
It's like a starter pack kind of thing, really. Isn't it?
Yeah.
This will help you out if you need it kind of thing.
Yes. I think it probably will help, especially after playing the game.
But the first pack, launching in summer, I'm not too keen on spending money for that, because the map feature, that should be a free update to everyone. Right? Like, I don't think that should be stuck behind the paywall, unless it's like something totally different.
What? Go into depth a bit more about this map feature, because I've not really heard a lot about this.
It's a new map feature. That's all we know about this.
Is it literally it? Just...
The only thing we know...
It's a new map feature.
The only thing we know of the DLC are what's coming, as I just said, and that's it. They haven't, they haven't showed us any images or anything like that, and that's another thing. Because I feel like if you want people to buy it early, set down that £20 already... You want to show at least some concept art of it. But then again, like, I think what this is just like them being a bit too excited. I think they should have saved this like until after release, but...
I agree.
Because, we know that development of the game has finished. We know that. And, and has finished. So I think when we get the game in our hands, we'll still have, like, a very complete game in our hands. But, like, this DLC is just added on. So
nah, man, they've got to keep building it as we play it. They've got to do it that quickly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Jesus, quick, they're getting to the edge of the world. They've got to create more.
Yeah. But I think, so personally, I'm very excited for the second pack, because that expands the world even more. And that means I get more content out of this amazing game, which may go down as one of my favourites ever. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really definitely top there in terms of Zelda games. So just being able to play more of that is great, and I don't have any problems paying money for that. But that new map feature, I'm not too keen on that being stuck behind a paywall, and the new hard mode as well, because unless this is like a completely different hard mode,
is this the first Zelda game to have like a difficulty setting as well? Because I've never known of that in any Zelda game ever.
Not
other than Master Quest, but.
Well, yeah, like the Master Quest and Hero Modes and stuff like that. So in the recent ones, you have the Hero Modes, where for the most part, it was just enemies doing more damage, like double the damage.
And you can't collect hearts out in South Park.
Yeah, stuff like that.
You're going to use potions or berries.
That's how I remember it in Skyward Sword. Maybe Wind Waker, I believe. I'm not too sure. Mm. And then the Master Quest, Ocarina of Time 3D at least... the world was reversed as well, so it was like mirrored. So unless like they completely do like a completely new hard mode, sort of like as you've seen like action games where like bosses may have completely different movesets or anything like that.
But from the videos I've watched, like the previews we've watched of Breath of the Wild, a lot of people are saying it is quite difficult to. When you're starting up anyway, so it depends what it means by new hard mode. I mean, is there a hard mode already in the game?
That's the thing.
Is it? It's a new hard mode. It's like it's not very clear, really, is it?
Yeah. So I'm hoping it's like the latter. It's just like a completely different new hard mode, because all the other games have had a hero mode from.
I think hero mode would probably be the first hard mode kind of thing. I think
hopefully,
it's,
yeah.
It's in, it's definitely in Wind Waker, and I believe it's in Twilight Princess as well, isn't it? So I don't know if there's any other games that feature it.
I think it's been the most mainline Zelda game so far. So the first I saw of it was in Skyward Sword.
Yes.
Then since then, it was more or less implemented into everyone.
I suppose it also depends how big this Cave of Trials challenge thing is as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because this is literally all we know, is just a few like bits of text.
But it's like, is that a new one, or is there like none in the game, or what exactly?
It might just be an extra cave, maybe. I don't know, it doesn't really explain that again, does it?
But that's the thing, I just want Pack 2.
Yes.
Don't really give much of a toss about the chests,
as
much as I love them.
Whoa, man. Jeez, dude.
Oh, he's gone for it. Oh.
I'm sorry, right? and then Pack 1, although now that I'm talking about it with you guys, does seem kind of enticing, but I'd rather not.
I think we need more details, don't we?
Yeah, but even though it says like an expansion pass and the set in packs, you can't buy each one individually.
How can you not?
No, so, at least what the hell explained it.
Go home.
Because, like, from what I've seen and all that, there's been no indication that you can buy them separately. If anything, it's just there's been confirmation.
I would have thought they would, though.
Isn't it going for, like, £20 or something?
Yeah, $20 it's announced.
So what I'll probably do is just, like, end up buying it when the Winter Pack drops. That's what I'll most likely be doing.
I think,
fair enough.
In a way, they know that a lot of people will start with Zelda only for their Switch. No, even though there's loads of games being announced now.
Well, but that's what they think, but I'm getting
If you think people will just be playing Zelda, nothing else, that they're not going to get any sales from that, are they? Mm. If they announce a DLC pack, one coming for summer, one coming for holiday, that might entice people to actually spend some more money on it. That's probably what the only reason they've done this, but yeah, I don't mind it, to be honest. I think it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
At least we're not like paying to win stuff, you know? It's all different challenges and extra hard modes, and you're actually getting new stories and stuff. It's not like, pay for this, you get a bow that just kills all enemies in one hit.
Mm.
All enemies wherever they are.
So, I think we do need to see more, but the timing is a bit off, because it's like, just announce it
later on.
Yeah, like later on, you know, that would be nice. But
I guess it also depends what these useful items are in the chests are as well for the expansion pass.
Yeah, because I don't want things to break my game, really.
Mm.
That's the thing, like, I want to play it just like without much help, although I have got 2 amiibo on the way, and the Guardian amiibo allowed you for that high-tech arrow that was at the reveal trailer.
Yeah.
And the Archer one allows you for this really cool bow.
Oh, right, okay. I have not
so
seen
they could be
that.
Cool, and I might use them just to play around with it, but
I've seen about Wolf Link, which is the best thing. But
yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Let's just not panic yet, though. That's all I can say. Don't panic.
No panicking here.
And £18 over like the next, 8 months? So, you know, just throw it out. It's not too bad.
Right, moving on.
I'm not really sure I'm the best at explaining this, even though it seems quite easy to explain. But Jack, you were the one that brought it up, so
yep.
How about you explain what's going on here?
It dropped this week that you can already pre-register your user ID for the Switch. You can do this via the Nintendo UK website on your account. There's a little thing that says like user ID or user console, something like that. Literally click on there and you type in whatever username you want to use on the Switch and it will save it for you. So this is just so that when you go on to play the Switch, you don't have to re-register, do all that. You just sign into your account and you'll be there. Bam, done. So, and you won't have any worries of people nicking your username if you do it early. So, which is kind of annoying. I know, especially like YouTubers, they really get really annoyed with it and people steal their name and then they have to use something else completely different. So... But yeah, it's just, it's there. Go and register now if you wish to do so. So, yay! Always good, I guess, that we're getting pre-Switch stuff. But, yeah, other than that, not a lot.
Right. Yeah. Moving on, another good one, and one I've rejoiced because Niantic have actually done something right with Pokemon Go for once. So, in some case that you've missed it, I don't know how you would have, but Johto Pokemon have finally been added to Pokemon Go. I'm not sure, I believe the number was around about 80, so I think that cuts out some of the legendaries and so forth.
Well, you say 80, but I think it might be a little bit more.
Alright, yeah, I think it was like around 80, because they said over 80, and it's like, well, that means round about 80.
I'll explain that in a minute.
Okay. But yeah, it's pretty good, so it adds all the Pokemon. In addition, it's just like a general update, so like now you can customize your trainer a bit more. And I say bit, but if you want to customize it even more, you have to pay for it with Pokecoins.
Yeah, I do like the top hat.
Money.
You know how to get money out of it other ways, and you should, you know, but be fine.
Jack, what are you going on about? But then
Sam,
as well,
Sam's
like,
an Android, and he's got sneaky ways of putting money onto it because he's sneaky.
Not sneaky. It's just a well-known way. If you do Google Opinions, you get money for each survey you do. You just get money on your account. So just actually, technically, you're not spending your own money. You just
get a free top hat. With
yes.
A Pokeball on it.
Very, very pretty top hat.
No, and then in the when you're trying to catch a Pokemon, that's the UI in there has been improved because now in your right, now you simply select between the three Pokeballs. Yeah, instead of going to bag and then scrolling all the way down to Pokeballs. And then on the left, you have berries where you have the raspberry as you always did, but now you have two raspberries where one slows down the movement of the Pokemon and another. Results in you getting more candies for that Pokemon, which I believe will be very handy if you've encountered a rare Pokemon.
Very.
So would you?
I do like the double berries sort of thing. I've been using that quite a lot. The pineapple berry.
And Nana, is it Nana Berry as well as I've seen this?
The Nana Berry, it just stops them being. It slows the Pokemon down or stops them moving around erratically or something stupid like that.
Yeah, they move around like crazy.
It doesn't change the capture rate any differently, so that's what the other berry we've already had before is used for. But you can only use one berry at a time.
Okay.
Which is kind of annoying, but it's still good in a way. So we've come across like Magikarps and Dratinis, so I've been using the pineapple berry to get those extra six berries rather than three. So it's like or four, or whatever it is. So yeah, it's very nice. Very nice. I like that. Just to quickly mention, I know you said that 80 Pokemon are in the game. There's 26 unknowns. So and they are in the game. I've seen.
Oh, geez,
I've so far
really?
Seen K and G. I haven't caught any myself, but they've been floating about on Facebook groups and stuff at the moment. So, yes, there is also a medal for catching all the unknowns.
Oh, okay.
There's 26, all 26 of them. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Is it 26?
Well, it's the alphabet, isn't it? So
the alphabet, and then the question mark and the exclamation mark.
Question mark and exclamation mark come in the Gen 3 one. So,
all right.
Yeah, see? Knowledge. I know Pokemon stuff. Yeah, it's been really good though, and I've caught loads of good Pokemon. I mean, it's the items you need specifically to evolve, like the likes of Slowking, Steelix. Oh, what other ones are there? Kingdra,
Blossom,
and there's one more. Scizor. Did I say Scizor?
No, you didn't say Scizor.
So that's six. So is that six? All six of them, I think. But anyway.
Steelix, you already said.
Yeah. Getting those items is a pain because you can only get them from having one in your 7-day streak.
Ah.
Like from Pokestops. Or just randomly, like Sam did the other day, and got a sunstone from a Pokestop.
Oh, you so lucky bugger. How exactly do you use those items?
It just when you evolve, it's just under the requirements.
Okay.
So, for instance, for Gloom, she'll have a green bar for Vileplume, to say evolve into Vileplume, and underneath it there's a pink bar.
Okay.
And that'll have the item Blossom, you need, right? Which is the sun. Yeah, for Blossom would be a sunstone, and then how many candies you still need to do it. So yeah,
that's good. All right.
It makes it last a bit longer, I guess. So I don't mind it so much, but still kind of annoying. But I've done so many extra like miles and kilometers over the last weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. Jeez.
I met up with Sam and then I went on for a massive long walk on the Saturday, all through Southampton, and then on the Sunday I also went through on the east side of Southampton for another massive long walk. I think I've caught so many different Pokemon, but it was all the ones I already had. So it was like, what a waste of time that was. But
I suppose the other thing we need to mention is there is a way of getting a guaranteed Espeon and Umbreon in this as well.
Yes.
You have to name for an Espeon, you have to name it Sakura, and for an Umbreon, you have to name it Tamao, which is Tamao. And
do we know if they're in reference to the anime again, or is it?
I think it is referenced. I think it's the trainer.
Okay.
I believe so. Anyway.
I have to look it on up because I don't know. But that's cool. That's cool they've done it again, and hopefully they'll continue to do that with other Eevee evolutions in the future.
Evolution.
Yay. I do like Umbreon, but it seems like Espeon's actually stronger in gyms.
Really?
Huh? Yeah. So, I mean,
well, it's special attack, isn't it? So Umbreon's more about defense.
Espeon can go over 3,000 in its actual CP, whereas Umbreon only goes to just over 2,000. So it's a little bit unbalanced, but still.
Oh, well.
Interesting.
I still want them.
The gym battles have actually changed as well, slightly.
They've
gone a little bit slower, but it does make the game work better because you can easily move around the Pokemon with like trying to dodge your way out of moves. A lot easier now, and a lot of the moves themselves have been powered up. I know Hyper Beam and Hydro Pump, for instance, have both gone up in CP, and the best one is Solar Beam at the moment.
Okay.
That's like nearly doubled its power. It's crazy, but it's really decent if you've got any grass Pokemon at the moment. So there you go.
Ooh.
Now you know.
Very nice.
Any more Pokemon Goes? What's the best ones we caught so far and the new ones?
I'm not sure. I think it's some Natu. I managed to get a Zatu.
I've had a few of those, actually.
I haven't managed to evolve anyone yet. Been playing until I use my lucky egg to evolve a good chunk at once.
I've got two lucky eggs at the moment. I still haven't used them. I've got both Steelix and I've also got Slowking as well. Because I got lucky enough to get an extra item off of a Pokestop near work. So I was like, yeah, that'll do. Happy days. Yeah. Really enjoying it so far. Really good. The only thing that's annoying is I hope they add the national dex as an option in the when you change how you look at the Pokemon. Because normally I do it by number or combat power, just so it's easier to see them all in a list.
Oh, but yeah.
When you do it by number now, all the new second gen Pokemon are underneath. So right down the bottom of the list. So you've got to go right to the bottom of the list to go and see any of them. And it's kind of annoying. But if they added like a national dex, so it's a little bit easier to have them all in order, maybe they'd be a little bit easier to work with. But it was only a little thing I would have done. But meh. I'm not a programmer.
Meh.
Right. Moving on. Splatoon 2 is getting a test fire like its Wii U original. It's coming the 24th to 26th of March, so it's only a little
Ooh,
bit
can't
after
wait.
The launch. Yeah, I can't wait either. I can't wait.
Plus, it'll be free because of the demo, not demo, but like the trial free online multiplayer stuff. So that'd be awesome.
So like the original, these are again a section of, or at least a selection of 6 1-hour sessions. So in our time, in UK time, there'll be one in the evening of Friday. Then, let me just see.
I believe it's one in the evening of Friday, three on the Saturday, and two on the Sunday.
Yeah, so let's see here. So in our time, Friday the 24th of March, it'll be from 7 to 8. Then the day after, on Saturday the 25th of March, it'll be from 3 to 4, from 11 to 12, and then again 7 to 8. And then on Sunday, it'll be 4 to 5 and 12 to 1. Which is quite interesting.
Indeed.
Yay!
Be able to get to try out all those new weapons and
sub
weapons and costumes and actually, I don't know about the costumes, but still.
I think it'll just be what we played at the Switch event in January.
Oh, I didn't. So this would be a new thing for me.
But then again, I only played one match, so I'm still going to be on it every hour.
Yeah, God, Matt. You just went off on your own, like, I'll go with Splatoon.
Well, I lost you guys when, with Zelda.
We were in the queue to go to play Splatoon 2, then they all crashed while we were playing it. So I went and got
Splatoon. Oh, yeah, I think I was, like, right there as well. I'm not sure.
It was funny, though.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it, Splatoon 2. Hopefully it'll be good. I think I'm more interested in playing it 8-player local play to see how that plays, but at least Test 5 is pretty cool, especially if you're only getting Zelda for Switch straight away. Mm. At least you've got something else you can try. So, all good.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, the Switch is coming out in just over a week, and here are the launch games that you can get right in the day. So, first up, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yay.
And then we've got 1-2 Switch, Super Bomberman R, Just Dance 2017, Skylanders Imaginators, I Am Setsuna, Snipperclips. Wait. Oh no, that's just March. Sorry.
Technically, you can get them all at launch date if you import them, because they're all available in Japan
launch date.
And all as right. this console is now region 3, you can technically get all of them on launch date. But yeah, that's how you take it, Barry.
All right. Also in March, there's the Tomorrow Corruption catalog, The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus, Snake Pass coming 28th of March in North America and 29th of March in Europe.
Highly recommended that game.
It does look great. Fast RMX March as well. Has Been Heroes is March as well. And the Splatoon 2 Global Test Fire demo. So that's what's been confirmed for March so far. I think it's definitely a strong lineup. I think.
It's stronger than it when we first looked at it. Definitely.
Well, it's certainly stronger. Like, I believe the Wii U on launch day there was 32 titles launched. Let me just get up Wii U launch games. Here we are. Right. So. List of video game console launch games. That's very useful, Wikipedia. Thank you. Let me see. Right, Wii U.
Wiki.
Right, yeah, so.
Best friend.
So the Wii U, November 18th, 2012 launch. There was Assassin's Creed 3, Batman Arkham City, Armored Edition, Ben 10, Omniverse, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Chasing Aurora, Darksiders 2, Epic Mickey, The Power of 2, ESPN Sports Connection, FIFA Soccer 13, Funky Barn, Game Party Champions, Just Dance 4, Little Inferno, Madden NFL 13, Mass Effect 3, Mighty Switch Force, Nanosonic Neo, NBA 2K13, New Super Mario Bros. U, Ninja Gaiden 3, Nintendo Land, Rabbids Land, Scribblenauts Unlimited, Sing Party, Skylanders Giants, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, Tank, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Wii U Edition, Transformers Prime, trying to Warriors Orochi 3 Hyper Wipeout 3 Your Shape and the Zombie You.
That's quite a list when you look at it.
That's quite a list, but out of all those games, you know, for the most part, you've got them on, you had them already on other consoles, probably. So I think that, you know, impacted that launch. And for the most part, they're just, there's no, like, big hitter right out of the gate. You know, on Nintendo's front, you had New Super Mario Bros. U and Nintendo Land. Nintendo Land, I feel, did a good job of, like, showing what the gamepad can do. And New Super Mario Bros. U was another pretty decent Mario adventure, but there was nothing, like, truly outstanding. Whereas this time, we're getting, like, Zelda. You know, we're getting a brand new Zelda altogether. We're getting one to Switch, which seems to be a relatively fun party game. We're getting the revival of the Bomberman franchise exclusively for the Switch. So, already just with those three titles, I think it's immediately far more exciting than the Wii U's launch.
Yes. There's definitely more games I'm interested in buying than there was previously, I must admit. But, it was mainly because with the Wii U, because a lot of those other games I'd already had on other consoles. So I wasn't really that interested in buying the likes of Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, Batman. You know, those games I already owned. So I was like, okay, let's just wipe them off completely. And then really the only two games there was Pikmin and Mario. And both of them I was just like, nah. But yeah, well, I didn't realise there were so many other games. I just like, when you're going for that list there, I was like, whoa, is he actually going to stop?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, but like,
super crazy.
I hope that, like, they still, I hope that they do, like, 2 weeks into the Switch's life, they'll be like, here's a new Direct showing a bit more, like, smaller titles and so on and so forth for what's coming. And Shovel Knight may be coming March, who knows? That's my gut feeling, at least.
Hope so.
At least early April, I think.
They said still three, waiting. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that Spectre Knight DLC. Super excited. They said it would be ready.
Yeah, they said it's coming out when they release it, don't they? I don't
know. No, when the Switch comes out. That's what they said.
Oh, right, cool.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm a bit like, super tier. Oh, I'm patient.
I feel like a bit sad for those waiting on Ukulele, because it doesn't look like that's going to make it for a Switch launch alongside all the other versions.
Yeah, that would have been good. Nice to see a new game that like that, but oh well. Again, it'll be ready when it's ready.
I don't know whether to wait for the Switch version or not now. That's the problem. I'm like,
That's the thing. I feel like they're going to, I feel that may be pulling us off it, because, like, out of all the, like, other developers, like, the developers of Snake Pass, that's using Unity 4 or something. It's a 3D game as well. They reported that it only took, like, about a week to get Snake Pass running on the Switch.
I heard that, yeah.
So, I don't see how, why it would take all that long just to get it on Switch for Ukulele. I guess I could understand the lack of a physical release. I guess I could see that, but a digital release, at least that should be at launch, surely.
It's penned in at 11th of April 2017 at the moment for Ukulele, but there's nothing said it would be 100% released on that day, but we will see. I hope so. I really do hope so.
Oh, what, just for the Switch version? Or
just for the Switch version, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so, but it depends on when you're looking, because, like, Amazon just has pendings. Right, and just one last bit. Jack, I believe you put down this last piece of news as well?
Because this week it was, we were talking about 1-2 Switch briefly last week, but it was, and a few of the games have been announced or leaked, shall we say, about the internet. And 18 of the 28 games has been leaked onto this video, or at least the introduction videos, which happen at every start of every game you play. Of the 18 listed, we've already talked about the five games that we played at the London event, which was Safecracker, the Ninja Sword. I can't remember what that was actually called, if that was Ninja Sword or something else. Any ideas?
I think it was Ninja Sword.
Ninja Sword or something like that. Milk, Count Balls, and Quick Draw. So I won't be talking about those ones, but I can quickly go through some of the other games which we have, which have been announced. Joy-Con Rotation, which is basically you put the Joy-Cons onto a table or a desk or a side, something like that, and you've got to pick the Joy-Con up really delicately, not moving it very much, and you've got to basically turn it in a 360 motion to try and fill your own circle up, and then you've got to put it back down again on a table for it to register that you've done a circle. The objective is to complete 360 degrees in 3 turns.
Okay.
You've got to basically beat your opponent to that score, so you can put pressure on them to be hitting the next angle.
Oh, okay.
So for instance, you could move it 45 degrees on your first spin, then move it 180 degrees your next spin, and so you've got to put pressure on them to get around a bit quicker. And I can see it being quite a good little fun game, but it's very delicate from what we've seen of it. You've got to be really precise with it, moving round the side there. But still pretty fun, pretty cool. Next game, this one I'm actually really interested in. Have any of you, I've assumed you've both seen Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
No.
You've never seen Pirates of the Caribbean?
I haven't really watched a lot of famous movies.
That's fair enough. In the second one, there is a game they play with some dice on the ship. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sam? Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a game they call Liar Dice.
Yeah, I've seen this one, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, there's a version of it on the Nintendo Switch. You basically roll a dice with the Joy-Con being a dice collector, holder, whatever you call it. You put it down on like a side again or on your knee or whatever, and it vibrates, telling you how many numbers you've got underneath your little cup. But that's your opponent's score. And your opponent's next to you has got your score in another same little tub. And you've got to try and convince your opponent that they've got a rubbish score and make them spin again. So it goes up to 12 on the score. And you've got to basically convince them that it goes down to go and get it down to 2 or less, kind of thing. But yeah, that looks really fun. I like that idea. And I think it will sort of drag a few people in with like references to pirates and stuff. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Pretty fun. This one's just for Matt, actually, this one.
Oh, right.
There's a game called Baby.
Baby.
All right.
Baby. It's basically a little baby crying on the screen.
Yeah, because I'm cradling you two to sleep then. Is that it?
No, I was literally going to call it you're the baby. But
right. So I beat you to the punch then, at least.
This is the only game that uses the Joy-Cons attached to the actual screen. And you basically got to use the screen, which has got a picture of a baby crying on it, and you've got to like basically rock the screen and make the baby shut up.
God.
Yeah, which is a bit of a weird one, but I suppose if you're looking at who this game's going to be designed for, young families, like younger kids and you know, little girls and things like that, I think they'll love that sort of thing. They're looking after a baby. So it's not for everyone, obviously, but I can see why they put it in there. It's something different. There's another game called Telephone, which you pretty much just sit and wait for the phone to go, and you've got to pick up the Joy-Con as quick as you can before your opponent. So and lots of anticipation in that one to actually pick it up and talk on the phone, which is really weird. Another sort of movie reference one, I guess. Wizard. Wizards is a game like you're playing Harry Potter with wands. But it did actually look quite interesting because you've got to thrust the controller out to launch a spell, and you can counter that thrust against your opponent by thrusting out at the same time. So there's lots of to-ing and fro-ing out. Oh, this sounds really wrong. To-ing and fro-ing, going out and thrusting your controller out to try and beat your opponent's spell. And it's sort of... It's sort of like a tennis, but you've got to be a little bit more precise with it. And it's a bit weird. But I suppose if you like wizards and Harry Potter and stuff and cosplaying, I guess, you can like that kind of thing. Again, another little fun party game. Sword fight, that's quite similar in a way, but you've basically got to just hit your sword over as an attack or defend against your opponent. Like you're literally having a sword fight in your home. That is, I'm sure you've all done that at some point in our lives.
I can't wait to try that one.
Yeah, it does look really fun, so that'd be pretty cool. I think Copy Dance was actually at the event as well, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think Copy Dance was at the event. Yeah,
it was at the event.
I saw a couple of people trying it, so it was,
I didn't play it myself. I don't think you did it either, did you, Sam?
I don't know. Nope. I don't like dancing.
Matt, did you try that one or not? Or?
I didn't get to try 1-2 Switch at all.
Never mind. But Copy Dance is basically like it says on the tin. You just copy the dance of your opponent, and likewise the other way around. So yeah, that's about it. So I've already mentioned that. Ping pong, you basically play ping pong without a table. Yeah, that's about it really. So like imagine you're hitting an invisible ball onto an invisible table, and then apparently you can change swerve and things with the buttons and the type of actual swing you do.
Oh, nice.
So that's at least there's something different and added in there. Which, I don't think it's going to last very long, that game, really. Eating contest, where you literally eat a sandwich. It uses only the right Joy-Con, because the right Joy-Con's got the detector... thing on the bottom of it.
The IR sensor,
So you basically put the controller against your face, and you've got to mouth that you're eating a sandwich, and you've got to try and do it as quick as you can before you like make sure you eat as many sandwiches as you can, and then you give your opponent a go, and he's got to try and beat your score. But you can only use it on one controller, basically like a single player game, really. It's a bit weird, that one. But, Beach Flag. Beach Flag is quite similar to the Wii Sports Resort game. You basically have to wait for a whistle, then you run using the joystick or Joy-Con, and you run, keep going running, and then you basically put your hand up in the air when you reach the flag kind of thing. There's like an indication that you're near the flag, and you've got to put your hand in there like you're playing Skyward Sword kind of thing, and then if you get it first you win. So pretty simple but pretty fun, I guess. Only a couple more games ago, there's Shaver, which you literally having a virtual shave. You take the Joy-Con and you move it across your face, like you literally are having a shave, and it takes off this guy's face virtually in the game, and you've got at the end of it gives you the display of the face. You don't see it while in the game, so it only shows it after you've completed your shave, and it shows if you missed any bits and how hairy you still are and things like that, which is pretty fun. But other than that, we have Soda, which is like, it's quite similar to, Mario Party has a game where you have to choose a buzzer, and if it goes off, it goes off, and if it doesn't, it doesn't kind of thing. and you carry on through the game. It's quite similar to that sort of thing. I have to try and think what the mini game is in a minute, but I can't remember. But you basically get this soda bowl, and it's the Joy-Con, and you can shake it up as much as you want, and then you pass it on to whoever is in the room. So this game you can literally play with as many people as you want. So you just keep shaking it up, and you pass it to the next person, and they can feel the vibrations in the Joy-Con. So you know whether it's still buzzing or still going away or how close it is to be near the top of the near to exploding kind of thing. So yeah, you just basically keep doing that, and the one that loses basically is the one who pops the bottle. So yeah, I like that one. I think that'd be quite good for forfeits and things, for like if you're having people around and put a little party kind of thing. And the last game is Runway, I believe, which is basically like a fashion parade. So you face each other a fair distance apart. Then you have to do like a strut, like you would do it like you were doing a fashion walk, which is really weird. You do it like opposite your opponent. You walk past your opponent, then you turn around and you sort of look at them in a pose. Then you walk up to them again, and you have to do another pose, another two or three poses with your opponent. I don't know how you win that game. I don't understand. I just, it's really very strange. But yeah. I'm sure Matt will be the first one to try that one as soon as he gets one to switch.
You will indeed.
So yeah, that's all the 1-2 Switch mini games that have been announced so far. Once we know more information about the other 10 games that are in this pack, we'll let you all know in the next podcast, I presume.
We
So
will indeed.
yes.
Okay, and that's that. So let's move on to what have we been playing?
Sploosh, sploosh, sploosh.
Sploosh.
Kaboom!
And here we are in the next section. Who wants to go first on what games they've been playing?
Well, I've only got a few, but I normally take forever, so it's up to you guys, really. I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm fine with you.
Yeah, let's go with Jack first then.
Cool. Okay. I've only been playing a few games this week. As mentioned, Pokemon Go. We've been trying to catch all the silver and gold, like Generation 2 Pokemon. Despite having a bit of a disaster on the weekend, I did well in terms of walking and the exercise and that. So I suppose it's done its point, but it's the fact that I haven't really caught as many as I wanted to, and I keep seeing people with Totodiles, and I keep getting really jealous. So, but
I've only
yeah,
seen about five myself, really.
oh really? Well, apparently there's a gym a little bit further up from where I work in Eastleigh, but it's still a fair distance away from where I am.
All right.
It's turned out that it's a Totodile spot,
Oh.
so there's like at least two or three there at every moment of the day.
That's
So,
good.
I might have to pop up there later on then. But then I realise it's actually quite a grassy field, because the guy I work next to, and he is quite into Pokemon as well. He's played like all the games on the handhelds, and he's really got into Pokemon Go. And we've been sort of going around all Eastleigh trying to catch all the Pokemon we can. And he found this spot on Monday, and he come back afterwards, and his trousers were just covered in mud because he's gone through this whole bit of grass to try and catch this Totodile. I was like,
Jesus.
that is commitment.
That's
That
like the sort of stuff you'd hear about when it was back in its height, back in July.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. It's good
That's
that
returned.
it's got that hype again. I do
Yeah, you
really
gotta be a,
appreciate
if you wanna be a Pokemon master, you gotta, push those skills and jump
Get
in a
muddy.
giant dirty ditch to get a Pokemon.
I hope that next time it doesn't take as long though, to get the Hoenn Pokemon out, and then I wish it's just somewhere around about like 3 months. Even then, I think that'll be fine. But if we have to wait another 7 months,
altogether in second gen, there is 100 extra Pokemon they added, but then with unknowns, that's an extra 25 on top of that. So it's still got a decent number extra to catch, not including legendaries and things as well, you know. But yeah, it's still enough there to keep us busy for a little while. Oh, I did also see for Pokemon Day as well, I don't know if you heard this announcement, there's going to be extra Pokemon you can catch. Well, I say extra Pokemon. Another Pikachu with another hat.
to celebrate the series 21st anniversary.
21st anniversary, that's correct. Hey. He's going to be wearing a party hat.
Yeah.
God, I hope it's the one from Smash Bros. The green. Like, there's one with the blue party hat and there's one with the green party hat. And then there's a red one in the anime, I think. So.
It most likely be like blue or green, that's my guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's still pretty cool. That's pretty fun.
So what other games have you been playing?
Okay, I've been playing Hyrule Warriors. I've got really into playing that because I bought all the DLC for it and everything as well.
Is this the Wii U version or the 3DS
version? The Wii U version, yeah. Okay. That's
so is that counting like Skull Kid, Yuga, that stuff? Okay.
Yes, literally everything. Skull Kid's really good, actually. I really did like his design because if you've not played it, he gets both the fairies with him.
Hmm.
He gets... what's Tattle and what's the other
Tail
one?
Tail or something?
It must be Tattle, yeah. So they sort of follow him all around and he basically battles with the fairies. They sort of just attack everything for him and he just sort of hovers about and laughs at things. And then if it's in the creepy way like he does, but his winning animation is he goes on the Ocarina like he does at the start of Majora's Mask and laughs at it and it's just so creepy, but I still love it. It's really cool. And then if you use things like the hookshot and get the moon come out as well, that adds a bit more to it than with the Majora's Mask sort of section.
I guess so, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, like I said last week, when I first played it, I wasn't really that fussed about it. I thought, well, it's just a generic battling game. There's not a lot to it. But now I've had a second go on it, I think it's actually got a bit more depth than I was expecting. Mm. The challenges are going to take me forever because there's just so many on there.
Oh yeah.
And there's like four maps worth now if you include all the DLC maps as well. That's like, that is crazy amount. But if you're a Zelda fan and you haven't played this yet, you need to pick it up because it's just such like a homage to all the games. It's just so many little things and little Easter eggs and things that you wouldn't expect, and all of a sudden. Oh wow! What the, like even things like having King of Red Lions as a character.
Mm.
I was like, that is just so odd, but it works.
Agatha as well. Don't forget about Agatha.
Agatha.
Oh, the bug princess. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like all the character designs. Even though you basically have only got three special moves, and then you got a magic move as well, it does get repetitive. But
Sorry?
No, you carry on. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that's what I encountered too when I was first playing it. When I was trying to do all those challenges, and I would always...
Yeah.
Even though I'd always try my best, I'd get two A's and a B, so I'd get a B overall. So it was really annoying to that one stage.
Do you know, I wanted to ask you actually about the multiplayer mode on this game. I don't know if there is... I know there's a way of playing it with the pads and a pro controller.
Yeah.
But can you do it against each other? Like one versus one?
Nah.
No.
Because when I'm playing through it, and the fact you've got to like take each area to try and launch up to your next place, I think if you could do that one-on-one against each other, like battling with your own separate armies through... That would make it a lot more interesting.
That would, I don't think that's the case though. In the 3DS version, at least, there's like in the 3DS version, there's like a time attack mode. So like, it's you and another mate just playing the game at the same time, but you're not really interacting with each other. I believe you're just competing for the best time to complete the stage.
Okay.
Mm.
Oh, so literally one more. Okay, that makes a bit more sense actually with that. But it just cries out to me that this could be a really good competitive battling game. But you just haven't done it, kind of thing. Well, you know, it seems like it's missing that note.
Let's hope that I could do something like that with Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah,
then.
It'd be interesting. Maybe there's some sort of limitations with being on Wii U or 3DS, and they can't really do it. But it's one that I'd be curious to see what they do. Look, Fire Emblem's not my game, but I'm curious what they do with that. If they add that sort of mode into it, I might be interested in it. But overall, though, I really highly recommend it. Even if you're not a Zelda fan, I think it's still a really good, fun game to kill off a few hours with. I've now completed the story completely.
Okay.
I've not done the challenge. I've done a bit of the challenge mode, and that's about it. And I think there's still a couple of characters I've not used so far. I think, what's the girl, the bird girl from Wind Waker? What's her
Medley.
Name?
Medley, yeah.
Medley, because she's a character in it, and I've not used her yet. And I'm like, what moves will she have? I don't know. I'm not used to her. So.
She'll, like, fly into them and then just do a spin attack or something. I can't remember.
I mean, she has her harp thing as a weapon. So maybe something around that, but I don't know. But yeah, all really good. And yeah, I definitely recommend it. Pick it up. And it was cheap. That's why I bought it originally. So
I will say something. Our Warriors did DLC pretty good, I feel like.
Yes. It kept giving more gradually. Mm. And I think that's why it did quite well from having the season pass available. I mean, was there three packs in the end so you could pick up?
So, I believe so, yeah.
And each pack's got characters, levels, and, you know, the challenge.
Yeah.
Well. So, it did add something each time. So I can see why people were quite happy with that. Despite the problem is how much it costs for it all together, because you're basically buying the game twice. But now you can get the game relatively cheap, and then just pick up the DLC whenever you want. So if you gradually want to get into the game, experience some of the characters, then you can always pick it up again later, another time. But yeah, all good. I also, I mentioned last time, Tony from Street Pass East Midlands set up a challenge for everyone to complete their Wii U games. I started Wind Waker, but then I bought Hyrule Warriors, and I've been basically playing just that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I didn't get very far at all. I literally got to the first major dungeon. I got past Windfall.
All right.
Find the sail. Then we went there to where the Dragon Roost Island.
Yeah.
And then I'm in that dungeon there. Because I was playing it... I've been playing it on hero mode, and I got confused where I was going while I was in that dungeon, which is really stupid because it's a really easy dungeon, but I keep getting lost for some reason. So... And then, because I'm playing hero mode, you get hit by something accidentally, and then all of a sudden you've even got like half a heart left. And it's like, oh. It's a good challenge, don't get me wrong, and I definitely will be playing through it the rest of this month, because I haven't really got much else to play other than maybe Paper Mario.
Well, you've only got a week until the new Zelda comes out, so...
We got a week until the next Zelda comes out, so I'm going to try and get my best to get through Wind Waker.
I need to get to the Cave of Trials and Twilight Princess personal playthrough.
That's a good point.
I've found the Cave of Trials, actually. I've gone through all that.
I need to get there, because, like, I want to record all the stuff so I can get a better Wolf Link for Breath of the Wild.
Oh, makes sense, yeah. I suppose you could do a video on that as well, couldn't you? You could like show how you get it and then what happens when you get it in Breath of the Wild. Just to, there you go. Just ideas, Sam. You know. But other than that, I've not really played much else. I think that's pretty much it, to be honest, because Pokemon Go just took over because I haven't played much 3DS at all. So So has anyone else been playing anything interesting they'd like to mention?
Do you want to go next, Mr. Gibson?
Or Killian?
You sound like Cartman, man.
Mr. Gibson.
I can't do impressions for the life of me, so I'm going to try. I finished Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE.
Woo!
Which I'm really happy about, because it is a great game, definitely one of my top 10 Wii U titles, so I'm really happy I was able to finish it.
You've been really praising that game, haven't you? Because
I'm sorry to, like, I've gone off about it, like, every single time we do a podcast. Yeah.
Jack, the
it's alright, it's okay. I'll let this one slide.
You won't be saying that, Jack.
Really?
You know what the FE stands for.
Freaking... I don't know what it is. I can't think of something.
It stands for Fire Emblem, Jack. Come on.
I know.
No, but it is a really good game. If you ever want to come back to the Wii U, I highly recommend picking this title up if you're a fan of JRPGs. I will say this, if you don't like anime or any kind of that Japanese culture, you will not have a good time playing this game. I will say that right now. But
from people I spoke to about this, a lot of people really praised it. It's like, as a Japanese RPG sort of aspect. I'm like, it's got Fire Emblem in it.
that's the thing. Like, it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't, because for the most part, it doesn't really play like a Fire Emblem game. You have the weapon triangle being swords beat axes, axes beat lances, lances beat swords, and then you also have like the archer class and the mage class. So that's there, and you do have class systems as well, and the master skills which you get in the game can upgrade your class. But the characters from Fire Emblem are presented as mirages, so they're not exactly like the Crom we know from Ulysses, or however you pronounce that name. Mm. So it's a completely different design, because like all of their faces are hidden in some form or fashion. But I think they still encapsulate like that character quite well when looking at their like normal design. And the voice actors are the same as well. That's another thing. Again, if you don't like anime, you may not have a good time, because it's not English dubbed at all. It's all English subbed with Japanese voices.
Okay.
Which at first I was a bit mixed about, because I always prefer at least having the option playing with English dubbed. But after playing it for a good amount of time, it would just not work as well, because there are so many... Well, again, it's heavily influenced by Japanese culture, like the J-pop scene and all that. The voice acting is really good as well. So I think that's something that lent strong to it. So if it was like English dubbed, I think it'd be a bit of a harder time, like recording the songs and all that.
So how does it actually play out when you like
battle? Yeah, so like in battle, what it is, you always have three people in your party at one time.
Okay.
And basically what it is, it does follow that Fire Emblem thing, as I said, with the weapon triangle, but I believe carrying over from the Shin Megami Tensei franchise, which was the original game that Fire Emblem was going to cross over.
Yeah.
So you have like ice affinity, fire, electricity, force, which is mainly wind. Then you also have light and body. Those two last ones hardly popped up in my playtime. And then you have almighty, which is kind of like a middle ground, because it's not really super effective against another type, but it's not weak against another thing either. It's like the middle ground, so it's still powerful.
Like the neutral, normal.
And it can affect everyone. So like no one is like safe from it, really.
No one is safe.
Yeah, so like the battle system, how it works is your speed determines how you come, where you place your turn, if that makes sense. So say if all of your three are faster than the enemy, all three of you will attack before those enemies in that one turn.
Is it a 3-on-3 sort of battle, or is
necessarily. Sometimes it'll be 3-on-1, sometimes it'll be 3-on-2, sometimes it could be even 3 versus 5.
Oh, right,
But there's a thing called session, and that's the thing. When you attack an enemy with something that would be weak to them, for example, say if it's a fire-based enemy, you know, and I hit them with a nice attack, you know, which the character Kiria uses a lot. She uses nice attacks a lot. So if I use her to attack the fire beast, as long as the rest of my party have the appropriate skills, they could also get in on that action. Not a euphemism. But they can also lend attacks, and that's called a session. So, like, basically what it is a combo system. So then the main character, Itsuki, may follow up with Ice Slash, which is a sword-type move, and then Toma may follow up with Sword Spear, which is a lance-based move, and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of depth to the game as well. I'm planning on doing a review where it's a lot more coherent. Okay. My thoughts are a lot more coherent and actually make sense.
Yeah, but, no, you've done well there, to be fair. It's quite a difficult game to explain. Mm.
Well, so I feel like a lot of people have explained it so much easier, but here I am just like having no clue how to exactly do it. Yeah. But it's a very fun game. It is that session. Those sessions do lend itself for probably incredibly rewarding gameplay.
And the Fire Emblem characters themselves, are they like summons? Are they like actual characters you battle with?
They act as mirages, and the kids, the main characters, human characters, they're all trying to have careers in the entertainment industry. So, for example, Itsuki's more like the leader type character, so he has Crom, who's the Lord of Mirage, you know, which makes sense. And then there's Tsubasa, who wants to become like a pop idol, and she's a Pegasus Knight, and so her Mirage is Ishida, who in the Fire Emblem games is a Pegasus Knight. I believe they only come from Awakening and the first Fire Emblem game.
Right,
which I'm quite sad about. Fate's understandable, because that released around about the same year in Japan, at least. But in the off chance that they do ever make a sequel, I would love there to just be mirages from all across the Fire Emblem universe. So, like, say, Camilla from Fire Emblem Fates, Roy from Binding Blade, so on and so forth. I think that could be pretty cool.
And the other game, Shin, I can't say it.
Shin Megami Tensei. Yeah, so this was originally, when this was first shown off, it was like in the direct, and it was just showed off the characters from Shin Megami Tensei and some of the characters from Fire Emblem. And the project title was Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. But the full project was shown to be just like really heavily JRPG, like Japanese pop culture thing. And I think that took a lot of people by surprise, and I think that's what a lot of disappointed by, because it is weeb trash, as the critics say.
Yeah, but at the same time, it does have that sort of unique aspect to it. You don't see that in many other games.
What I exactly like it, just in terms of like the story isn't really exactly, because it's just like kids try to save the world, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but the characters, with the side stories, you have three per character. Practical use, they grant you new skills that you'd use in battle. New special skills, new ad-lib performances which you can activate at random, so on and so forth. But for the most part, I enjoyed it just for its dialogue and how it's developed as their characters, and both of like their actual personality and so on and so forth, as well as their career. Because it's like, the one I liked the most was Toma, because his main career choice in the entertainment industry is to become like a hero, sort of like the Power Rangers and stuff like that. So you see him in the first one, side story with him, he acts like an understudy, I believe, or at least just as a substitute. So you start kind of see like that style of growth, and then you, as the side stories go by, you start to see him grow more and more into a hero, which I really liked. And then, but I also like the dialogue in this game as well. It's just really humorous, not exactly clever, but just really funny. Like one time again with Toma, when he first talks to you about this side story, he's like, "Listen, Itsuki, I need you to help me pick up some girls," and the options are like, "Yeah, alright, I'm down for that," or, "Nah, mate, you're on your own," basically. So some a good amount of times really did make me chuckle, as well as the facial expressions. So if you like anime, you should be used to them, and Tokyo Mirai Sessions has no shortage of them. Anyway, back to my main thing. I finished the game. It was quite a good final battle. The main song that they have to sing to beat the final boss, or at least weaken it, should sound familiar to fans of the series. I find it quite catchy, and I quite like it, to be honest. But I just felt like this sense of emptiness when the credits started rolling. I'm glad how it ended, because like the Fire Emblem games, or at least ones with recent memories, they tell you what their futures are like. So it's like, Tsubasa continued to be a brilliant idol and was loved by fans all over the world. Stuff like that. You know.
It's okay though, because you've got your life-size Marth pillow you can cry into.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because if anyone like that had a body pillow of, it's Marth, the hero king. Jeez. You guys give me like this shit like all the time.
Sorry.
It's not funny.
It's just funny.
It's not funny.
No, it's not. It's hilarious.
Jeez.
Put the fishing rod out there and he's always biting.
Yeah, so it was weird. I think I've set him down on it now. But it was just weird just having finished a game that I've been working on for like so long.
Hey, since September,
my birthday. Because between, I think it was like late November and early January, I took like a massive break from the game.
Oh, right.
So I'm glad that
I did the same recently with Twilight Princess, because I took like a couple months off from playing that, because I got kind of annoyed with it at certain points, but then just went and finished it and realised I was so close to the end anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, it took me 70 hours.
70 hours, wow.
Yep. Because I'm such a slow player, but like even then, it's like, just to beat the final boss, not like any extra content. Well, I did do all the side stories as well. But it's like, even with Final Fates, I'm around about probably 90 hours altogether, but that's counting all three paths. So that's counting Birthright, Conquest, and Revelations. And I still have to finish that last path, actually. Son, I'm at 30 hours, and I haven't played it in ages either, so I need to get around to playing that too. But yeah, Tokyo Mirai Sessions, Sharp FE. I'm planning on doing a Wii U retrospective article for Nintendo Prime, just to like wrap it off, give it a good farewell, but that game will certainly make an appearance in that article. And whenever I start doing like my Hidden Gems series of articles, just looking at like Hidden Gems across Nintendo platforms, Tokyo Mirai Sessions would definitely be up there, because it is just so underrated in every regard. It's not for everyone, I can understand that, but if you like anime or can at least handle that kind of stuff, and you like JRPGs, you should have a good time with this game.
I can really appreciate the actual who it appeals to, definitely. I like that they've tried something different with it. It's really good, but it's still got Fire Emblem in, so I'm just meh.
Speaking of Fire Emblem, I've also been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. Still pretty much the same thoughts as the last time, really. Nothing's really changed, but they do seem to be like really supporting this game. So like every couple of days they've been doing something. Like, so last week they had a special event where you could get this really powerful character to join your team, but then again it's really hard to beat him as well, so there's
wasn't
that
there about feathers or something as well.
Yeah, so like just as a thank you, they gave us like 10,000 hero feathers as a thank you, which was nice, because you do
is
need that
good?
Alright, I'll say the good, just get the good route away. It's still good. It does make you want to go back and play it more and more again. And I think it is good. It did a good job at translating the Fire Emblem experience onto mobile. It simplifies it so well. In such a way that it doesn't necessarily destroy what made Fire Emblem so great. But of course, if you want like the best experience, at least like a great experience, then definitely check out the titles on home consoles and such. But the bad thing is, one, as you said, the Hero Feathers, it's not the Hero Feathers themselves, it's how you unlock potential in your allies. So allies are ranked in terms of stars, one being the lowest, five star being the highest. With high stars not only having stronger stats, but also having better weapons and better skills that you could get with skill points. What was I going to say? Yeah. So, upgrading to 3-star to 4-star isn't that bad, because you need this other item called badges, and they are exclusive to each colour. So there are red scarlet badges for unlocking potential, and red allies, blue for blue characters, etc, etc. And they can be obtained in the training tower, but not through anywhere else, I believe. Which I think sucks a decent amount, in my opinion, but not too bothered. And it costs, so to upgrade from a 3-star to a 4-star, you only need 2,000 Hero Feathers and 20 badges of that colour. So it's not too bad, I don't think.
No, I'm sure it's very nice.
Yeah, but to upgrade from a 4-star to a 5-star, you need 20 great badges of that colour, in addition to 20,000 Hero Feathers.
I don't know if you remember, a few months back now, there was a Kingdom Hearts game for
Unchained,
the
right?
Yes, yeah.
I played it for a little bit, I believe, yeah.
It does sort of sound the same, quite in a similar sort of way. You've got to upgrade your characters into kind of stars sort of way, and they've got to have certain things to be able to upgrade. Mm. But, it's one of those, I'm not really sure how far they could go with it, because you're going to get those people who will get to the top level and then they've got nothing else to do. Mm. So, it's only going to last so long is the problem with it, and it's... With most mobile games these days, it's sort of a quick fix and that's it. But if they keep adding extra to it, we'll see how it goes. But...
Yeah, well, they already are. Like, they're always doing events and all sorts. So I think they are doing a good job of like keeping this game alive. Like, only recently we got some more new heroes, which came from the Sacred Stones, which released on Game Boy Advance, and Genealogy of the Holy War, which never saw release over here, I believe. So it's cool to see that as well. But yeah, and the other thing as well is the gacha mechanic. So, you spent orbs to try and summon a hero. And that hero is completely random. So, like, you only have, like, a 3% chance of getting 5-star heroes. Whereas, like, around about, like, 30, I'd say, for a 3-star hero, and then, like, a 50% chance for a 3-star hero. So it's like, well, bollocks. You know, especially when it... And, but here's the thing. Well, the worst view is that gotcha mechanic. So it's like... So it's 5 orbs for the first summon, but if you continuously summon in the same session, the next summon will be less. But that so first summon is 5, then the one immediately up that is 4, but the third and fourth are also 4 orbs, whilst the last... and fifth one will only cost you 3 orbs. So what you want to do is save your orbs until you get 20 orbs altogether. So you could do 5 summons altogether just to save on orbs, really. Instead of doing, as soon as you get 5, you can summon a hero. I don't think that's the best way of doing it. But the other thing is that you can't choose what exactly your focus is. So oftentimes, like, there are banners, like, the one right now is on those recently new characters, and, like, there's a specific focus to get 5-star versions of those heroes, which is fair enough. And when it launched, there was, like, 2 banners, one focusing on, like, certain protagonists, so, like, Marth and Lucina, and another focusing on more, like, ally characters, like Takumi and Camilla. So I thought that stuff was okay, but you don't get to choose what coloured orbs or what coloured allies you want to get. So say if you desperately need a stronger green ally, for example, you just gotta pick a god and pray that you get 5 green coloured orbs. Because you could get like a mix of all 4 orbs, so you could get a mix of red, green, blue, and grey orbs. Or if you're really unlucky, you may be stuck with getting 5 grey orbs. If that makes sense. You could only get 5 grey units, so you don't get to choose what exact units you want. In the sense that you can't choose their colour. So again, if you need...
So you can't choose your pink ones?
There is no pink ones, Jack. So if you need like a red fighter, because it's like red beat. So red beats green, green beats blue, blue beats red, and then greys have like varying effects, being like for daggers, for bows, and healers, basically. Say if you need more sword fighters that will come under the red category, you can't choose how many red summons you want to pull. The colours are always picked at random, and I don't like that aspect, because you could be waiting so long just to build up to 20, only to find that like you're only going to get one red unit out of those 5 summons in that pool. You know, so I really don't like that aspect of Iron Heroes. I think you should at least choose what coloured heroes you want, at least. You know. Because that sucks. But the other thing as well, my last summon that I did with 20 orbs, I got all of them were the same heroes I already had. You know. Which really sucks. And especially with greens, I always get Church. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, but she's a Wyvern Knight from Awakening, and she's fairly good, but I always get her, and it's really made me angry. Oh well.
Oh.
But yeah, terrible. So it's still a good game, it's still free. I don't think it necessarily has to force you to buy orbs, but once you run out of new levels to play, once you beat all the levels in a world, you get that world on the harder difficulty. I mean, you can get orbs again for clearing each level. But so, once you beat all of them on normal, you unlock each level in hard and lunatic modes. But when you eventually beat all of that, you're out of 3 orbs. So, you more or less have to buy more orbs. And even then, it's like the cheapest option.
Pay to win.
Yeah. But it's like the cheapest option is for £2, you get 3 orbs. But 3 orbs isn't enough to even start a summon. You can't get a unit with just 3 orbs. So it's like, what are you doing?
Making you spend all the monies,
exactly.
And all the fire emblems.
Money, if you haven't... microtransaction monies.
If you have yet to try it for yourself, definitely try it out. It is still a relatively good game. My last game here, sorry for always rambling on. Is some Shantae Half Genie Hero.
Hooray!
It's not on Nintendo.
Finally, though. A tasteful game!
Right, Sam, you could go now.
yeah!
Bye, folks, see you later!
I am playing on my PS4, though. So it's not necessarily Nintendo, but it is Nintendo related. It's better than the Xbox, Jack. I don't think Shantae's even on the Xbox. Anyway.
I don't know.
How are you enjoying it, Matthew?
It's good. I'm just about to go to the magic carpet race.
Oh, yes. That's a crustacean cape. Oh,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. It's in like a far different structure than Pirate's Curse. Whereas Pirate's Curse, it was like one continuous world, wasn't it? If that makes any sense. So like you explore that world, you get to the dungeon at the end of that world, and then you go back and explore the next world. Mm-hmm. But Shantae Half Genie Hero, they're split up into levels. But...
Yes.
And you don't get to replay the bosses, or at least when you go back to go in the level, which in one instance is very good, but in one instance I quite like the boss. So I really liked it in... I really liked the mermaid boss. I thought that was a good one.
Oh, that was epic.
That was a good boss.
Mermaid Queen.
Yeah. That was a good boss in my opinion. Was the one immediately after that, which was this giant worm. That was like, I wish I could kill you. Like, you know, in real life. Put an end to you, like, forever. So yeah, so that one wasn't as fun. But the general gameplay still holds up quite well. If you like Pirate's Curse, I think you'll like what you play here. Still great. The dances are good as well. So, like, some cost magic and some special abilities as well, and I think that access easier as well than Pirate's Curse.
It's things like the Dryad dance that cost magic because you're producing something with magic. The dance doesn't cost anything. It's just the magic that, like, the Jug of Gems is another one because it produces gems.
Yeah.
But other ones are fine.
Yeah. But I do like the transformations, to be fair, but I'm not really keen on, like, you'll play this whole level, but it would have been nice just to have that transformation already from the get-go.
You can in hero mode.
Oh, nice.
Yes, you can get most of them. So you, like, you actually, like, find, oh, actually, I've missed this, and you'll, like, find it in the hero mode, like, quicker. Like, I missed things when I first played it, and I was like, oh, right, it was there. If I had that, then I would have noticed that, like, before, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, the ones that you get at the end of the level. Like, for the first one, I feel that was fun, because that was just, like, more of a tutorial, so I don't think we need to...
Oh, there's still stuff in that first level you can miss very easily.
But it's like... Yeah, actually, now that I mention it, it is kind of redundant because you still have to go back anyway.
Yep.
But yeah, it's still a good game, but I just feel like there's no general story or any general mission.
There is a story.
There is something there, but, like, I don't feel as epic because, like, right now it's just, like, fixing this thing for your own.
Yeah, but it's building up to. You just have to give it time. Yeah. We'll discuss it next time if you get there. Yeah. It's a good one.
Okay. All right. Sam, finally, what have you been playing?
Well, aside from what we've just been discussing and Shantae, I'm probably up to nearly the same point as you are. I have also been doing Super Mario RPG. I think Jack really caught on quickly because I'm very close to the end now. I'm literally, like, so close to finishing, I think. So
nice.
Yeah. Them all.
Yeah, I'm up to Smithy. I'm up to the final boss, I think. The giant, gigantic sword that's sort of mounted in Bowser's castle. He's a nightmare. I can tell you that now. and then other than that, I play Pokemon Go. Has anyone else noticed that, like, with the first gen that we had the common appearance ones like Spearow and Rattata and Pidgey and stuff like that? It's now like Swinub and Natu and Sentret and...
I like Sentret, though.
I don't mind Sentret. It looks like a flying squirrel raccoon thing, but I like Ferret. Ferret's better than Sentret because it's like a little ferret. But yeah, there seems to be, like, now those ones are the common occurrence ones. You're just like, I just...
Yeah,
oh, God.
It's like, oh, God's sake.
Why? But yeah, I'm quite enjoying it. I've managed to evolve all the common ones because obviously they show up enough that you get enough candy to evolve them. And other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Animal Crossing New Leaf because just want to keep getting my town going and getting all the stuff. Like, I love getting the fortune cookies. They cost play coins, but they're so well worth it because you get, like, Nintendo stuff. You're just like, oh, please let me get a new thing. I want a new costume piece, or I want a new item for my house because, like, I keep getting more rooms and I'm like, oh, I need more Nintendo stuff to decorate with. I want a wallpaper and a floor. I still need some of those. But yeah, I love it. I absolutely love Animal Crossing. And if they ever do make one for Switch, I'll be so happy. For a game that I can play at home.
They gotta be making something.
I can't wait to see if they do. And if they do, they'll make a smart move on that. Maybe that's why they didn't release one, and, like, recently that they're actually holding up, like, wait, building up to something.
What do you mean? There was an Amiibo Festival.
I mean a proper Animal Crossing game.
I feel like that would have made that Amiibo update, that would have made the Switch Animal Crossing so much better, unless Animal Crossing and Switch is really that far away into the future.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, that's all I can say. I know a lot of the Animal Crossing fans will probably agree that would be a great game to go with.
Because I think it would do well, like... It's quite a nice looking game. I would say New Leaf is a really good looking game on the 3DS, to be honest. It does complement that style really well. So to see it look better on the Switch, as well as that portability, that would be quite good.
And
it'll
probably play quite smoothly with the processor and stuff, so fingers crossed. But yep, that is what I've been playing.
Alright. So with that, let's move on to our final section.
Sploosh! 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 Kaboom!
And here we are And here we are in our final section. You've probably missed it, but Jack just went, thank you. For no reason whatsoever.
He's probably trying to do an impersonation of Beetle the Bard from Wind Waker. Thank you!
Sploosh.
Sploosh. Anyway.
That was a good one. That was a good sploosh.
Sploosh.
Jeez. Alright. I think I should just go first, if that's alright.
You should.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
Thank you. So I saw that Albion... So last year there was this big Smash tourney called Albion, which is, I feel like, the biggest in the UK. But then, which is kind of saying something, because the UK scene for Smash isn't massive compared to like other places. But it's still something at least, and it's still Smash, so of course I love it, no doubt. I'll probably be going to Albion too, participating in the Smash tournament. So thankfully it's on July 1st to 2nd on that weekend, which is just after my exams wrap up, so I should be able to attend. And yeah, so just shout out for Albion 2. Let us know if you're also planning on participating in that tournament too. Yeah. Should
nice.
Be fun. Yeah. And another thing I want to shout out for is my Splatoon 2 article on Nintendo Prime. I list the top 5 things I want to see from Splatoon 2 in this article. Make sure to check it out if you have the time for. I'm just going to see if there have been any comments to it. No comments, no discussion, which I'm quite sad about. But you know, if you want to check out some Splatoon 2 stuff, definitely check out Nintendo Prime. Just search for Splatoon 2, and there's 5 things that need to be added to Splatoon 2. So yeah, that's pretty much it. For my shout outs, just that Splatoon 2 article and Albion 2. Right,
Jack, you next then. We'll go in order.
Me next. My friend Harry has just started doing Twitch streams. He is basically he basically just plays a lot of Rocket League, and he's just started getting to play some horror games. I sat with him on online the other night, playing through Outlast.
Right.
And it's like a little, it's just a little bit of a jumpy game, to be honest. There's nothing really massively scary in it, but there are some moments when he just jumps out of his skin, and I made some clips of it on his page. I highly recommend everyone goes and checks it out, because it's hilarious. His Twitch page is Dirty Dub Cakes, and Dirty of Two Eyes, so, and Cakes end in Z. But I'll leave a link in the description, so you can just click it and go there and check his Twitch page out. I've quite often been in the chat with him or in his Discord page, so you've got to hear me in streams and stuff. So that's been pretty fun. He does want to play Undertale with me on there, which I'm like, yes. And we're also talking about doing Final Fantasy VII as well, because we just picked that up recently. But, yeah, he's been really good, and I think you should all go check it out. So, yeah.
Nice.
Another quick shout-out. Our friends at the DNA Network have had a upgrade and changed their name to the NGR Radio podcast, which stands for Nerds Gone Rogue. I've been listening to them this week, and it's a great podcast. I highly recommend it. Everyone checks it out. And they're based in America, I believe, but they just talk about all sorts of different things in gaming, and a lot of Twitch stuff keeps coming up in their pod at the moment, and not always positive, but they do give a good view overall on all gaming aspects. So I'll leave a link to them in the description as well. So check it out. I hope you enjoy it.
Nice. And Sam, your shout outs.
Right. I suppose me and Jack can do one in particular.
Oh, yes.
Myself and Jack will be going on to a charity live podcast on the 25th of March.
Yes.
I think our plan is to talk about the Switch and
hopefully demo in it, depending on
demo however we go and stuff. But
how are we gonna do that? I don't know yet, but we'll work it out, I'm sure.
We probably have so much we could talk about, our experiences and playing games
I think what I'd like to talk about on there would be playing through Zelda and things, because I'm sure there'd be different ways we have played together, and it's
indeed.
I mean, it's all for charity, all for Red Nose Day. There'll be, from what I've heard so far, they've got all the setup equipment things all for us, but we'll be able to record our own section. I might be able to put that onto Podomatic and YouTube, so be able to watch it yourself. But also, because it's be a live 36-hour podcast feed over the 2 days.
Not just us. It's
not
like
just
other,
us.
Other podcasters.
We're doing an hour on Saturday night.
No.
But I might be doing some guest spots on the Sunday as well, depending on what they need. So I'll appear on some other podcasts and things. So I'll try and gather as much of the videos as I can and share them about after we've done it. But I do hope that you all can come on and join us the live podcast. I know it's going to be a late one. It's 11 o'clock, I think, at night on a Saturday, because that's literally the only slot they had left over. But I do hope that you can sort of join the chat and come and donate some money to charity, and hopefully we can talk about whatever you want. So yeah.
Yes, it'd be great.
Really looking forward to it. There's some really great local podcasts that are joining in. I've already liked them on our Facebook page, so if you check the Nintendo Podcast System Facebook page, on our there's a little bit in the bottom right that says liked by this page. If you click that, it links to all of our pages we've ever liked in the last 2 years nearly. The newest ones, there's about 6 or 7 new podcasts on there. If you're looking for something else to listen to, go check them out on there. I'll get a list for next time, so I can chat up you more in the next shout out section. So good.
Nice.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Yeah, it's a bit nervous as well, but it should be good.
I'm sure you guys will be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Oh, see, Jack, you said there was Skype ability, didn't you?
So. Yes. We've got limited Skype capabilities, so if someone did want to come on with us and talk over Skype, help us guest on appearance on there, please get in touch and let us know. And I know Matt was sort of in an hour, whether he'd be able to make it or not.
Yeah. Hopefully he can.
We'll see what happens. But so they have the capability there. We'll see how it is on the day, depending on network and things like that. But please let us know if you do fancy helping us out. It's only for an hour on Saturday evening, so please let us know. either on our Twitter or Facebook page. So yeah, yes. Cool. Sam, go for the rest of your shout-outs.
Yes, I will. Obviously, my usual one, which is to Street Pass UK, because it's awesome. You'll get to meet great people. You can check it out at the Street Pass UK website. You can find local events in your area.
At the moment, Street Pass Basingstoke on Saturday, because that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah, there are a lot of different like groups that are probably going to be doing the Nintendo Switch. Like, look, here's the Switch. Try it. It might actually help you get an idea and an opinion of what the Switch is like, whether you want to get it now, whether you might want to get it a little bit along the line when a few more games come out. But it'll give you a chance to really play a new platform. And then you also get to, as always, meet loads of awesome people, meet new friends, and have a good day, really. My final one, this is a bit like cheesy. I want to thank my family for like my birthday presents and stuff, because I got spoiled. Basically, they got me, like, my mum was like, oh, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, I don't really want anything apart from maybe some gift cards for like game, because that's where I pre-ordered my Switch. And she was like, oh, that's fine, I'll, like, you know, ask your brother and sister. The funny thing is that my mum went and got the gift card from my brother and sister, and what she didn't know was that my brother had already gotten the gift card. So I ended up with two gift cards.
Oh, right.
About 90 quid's worth.
Whoa. Oh, nice.
I know. So I was like, thanks. It's like, you want to be grateful, but at the same time, you're like, oh, this is awkward. But yeah, no, I was super grateful for that. So, and like to all my other family who gave me like money towards it and stuff. So I'll probably be getting like at least Breath of the Wild. I want to also get 1-2 Switch and Bomberman R, so I'll have loads of stuff to play with. Nice. And I just, what I want is to get my family and my friends playing it as well, so it'd be really good fun.
I'd love to see a recording of that. It'd be amazing.
Oh,
get your mum playing Milk.
Oh God, no. No chance. But I think we have one more shout out, don't we, Jack?
Yeah, I just added one just as you were talking.
I know, for Cyber Jam Gaming.
Yes, friends of ours in Southampton, Cyber Jam Gaming, they own a couple of gaming shops and stores, and also mobile gaming, mobile repair shop as well. Mm. They are having a pre-Nintendo Switch event in Orange Rooms in Southampton on Thursday the 2nd of March. This is a day before launch, and he actually has two consoles at least on the day before. So we're going to be testing a few things out, and I'm going to probably be helping them demo 1-2 Switch as well. So
I'll probably be there as well.
Sam is likely to be there as well. So
I probably won't be there as well, because it's in Southampton.
Yeah. If you're in Southampton or anywhere near, please come check it out, and we'll have a beer or two, maybe a few. But yeah, check out Cyber Jam Gaming on Twitter and Facebook as well. They've got all sorts of different events and things that they've got planned in the next couple of months. I know they quite often do stuff around here locally, but they've also go as far as like Bournemouth and Portsmouth way as well. So yeah, if you are around this local sort of area, come check them out. Yeah, good bunch of guys, so hopefully that should be a fun event, so might see you there. Yay!
Awesome. Alright, so that wraps it up. Almost. Who knows? So this was episode 39. You can listen in three ways. First of all, you could listen to us on YouTube. I'm planning on improving like the visuals in terms of the thumbnail and what you see on the YouTube space. I have a cool idea in mind, but it's going to take a decent amount of work, I feel like. So it probably won't happen for a good while. I don't think it'll be particularly challenging. I don't think. But, well, to get it like satisfactory, that is. But it's just a lot of time. And other things are going on. So I may not get around to doing it until a good amount time has passed. But yeah, so you can check us out on YouTube. Please subscribe to us if you like what we do. You can also listen to us on iTunes and Podomatic as well. What else do we want here?
Socials.
Socials. Very good, Jack. Jack runs the Facebook account, which is just End Podcast System, right?
Yep, and there's also a group open as well if you want. There's a group and a page open, so please check out both and join both. And the group's got a little bit bigger in the last couple of weeks, so hopefully there'll be a bit more interaction there. So, which is good.
One thing that hasn't seen a lot of interaction on is Discord. We do have a Discord server if you so wish to join.
We're just waiting for more people to join. Yeah.
It's just dead. I'm kind of ashamed on how
we need to organise an actual specific date when we can both all be on and stuff. But it's quite difficult at the moment. I'm all over the place in being busy and that. But we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll plan a day and we can get everyone to come join and we'll play some Wii U games and 3DS games. So and Switch games.
Hopefully some Switch games. Yeah.
So yeah.
Maybe. You can also check us out on Twitter, which I run, is at NPodcastSystem. I'm going to try and be a bit more, like, social, but just be like, oh, do more polls.
Yes.
And all sorts.
No, they were good, the polls. We like the polls. So. What would be the next poll, Matt? What are you going
to...
What's the...
Who knows?
Who knows?
Probably, like, what are you going to be playing day one, apart from... Zelda, because that's the obvious choice.
1-2 Switch.
It could be Bomberman R.
Oh, it could be.
Could be Skylanders Imaginators. Who knows?
Just Dance.
Just Dance, yep. Yeah. Oh, Neil will be playing that, I bet.
Neil will definitely be playing that.
Yeah, he will.
Neil will definitely be playing that.
Alright, I swear there are other things. Yeah, so like, an email us at nintendopodcastsystem@gmail.com. Feel free to ask us anything, like questions or just submitting comments and all sorts. Let us know just our thoughts on any questions. Could be like to do with a recent gaming topic, could be just anything you want to just ask, like a fun like trivia or anything, like oh, who's our favorite character in Smash Brothers and all that.
Greninja.
Those kind of questions, or if you want, suggest ideas for who you would like to see guest on the show.
Oh yeah.
Any ideas? We would greatly appreciate them.
Yeah, please let us know. We'll try our best to get anyone.
Try and not be like me and try and get yourself on the show. Try and suggest someone else. And I say that from someone that would used to do stuff like that.
I've been talking a lot actually to Dr. Eggman's voice actor lately. He's on Facebook. Maybe we can work something out there because he seems quite.
If you can get on, that would be just amazing.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. But
he would have to do the intro if we ever do that.
Oh wow! Hello.
Oh, great Eggman voice right there. Great Eggman voice.
It was the best.
Evil
Ham.
Oh dear.
Dear. To be fair, like, did you see that one bit from the Sonic Boom TV show? When I basically take the piss out of themselves. No. It was
The TV show's amazing. If no one's ever watched it before, just go and watch the episode. The one episode with Shadow in.
It is.
They literally take the piss out of themselves all through it.
It's like this one bit. It was like Sonic comes back from like a garage sale or whatever, and he brings back this retro game called I can't remember the name. So it's like Tomatopus something.
What?
I can't remember. It's like Tomatopotamus 2.
Tomatopotamus.
Yeah, something like that. I can't really say it for sure. But he was like, oh, guys, I got Tomatopotamus 2 at this garage sale. And Nintendo goes, Tomatopotamus 2 is the best one in the series. It never worked in 3D. And then Knuckles goes, yeah, game developers always ruin their beloved game franchises. Sonic goes, they should have never recolored his legs. And I was like, that's just such an obvious jab at the Sonic Boom specifically.
So funny. Mm-hmm.
Love it. I really do feel like it is quite talented, Sonic Boom writing.
It's the episode with Shadow, and they basically said, oh, wow, it's Shadow, the most edgy character in the whole series. Like, what? It's things like that, though. The series is really good. Don't ever play the games. Don't ever play the games.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently, I've heard this week, made $43 million.
Oh, jeez.
How?
Wait, what?
The game's made $43 million. This is the 3DS game. The two 3DS games and the Wii U game.
That's a joke, surely. Like,
it's true. It's true.
If you got an appointment to Fiji Trots or something like that, no. Just no.
Oh, dear. Anyway, shall we end this?
I'm sure everybody's getting
scared. How is your up. Sonic special?
Right, this has been episode 38. Jack, what piece 39. Of music is going to... Yeah, 39,
you,
sorry.
You failed! I'm sorry. You got the wrong number!
Just shut up, Jack. Shut up. Leave me alone. Episode 39, recorded on 22nd February 2017. Mr. Jack Gorn of Gornery 7789s. What
are
is our ending?
Are we going to say our own social medias or anything?
Oh, yeah. See, right.
Man,
Jack,
you're getting well ahead of yourself today, ain't you?
Jack, where can people find you? Sorry.
Hello, I'm Jack. You can find me at Gorny7789 on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and loads of other places on the internet. Please go check out all my YouTube stuff because I've been posting videos and not many people have been watching them. But yeah. There's a Sonic series and I'm doing Undertale series and then I'm going to probably do some other series on top of that. So yeah, cool.
Awesome. Sam, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at SamSpade_UK, as well as SamSpade Gaming, which is also on Facebook and YouTube too.
YouTube too?
YouTube as well, then.
There's a second version?
Oh. Matt, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Acegibbo, A-C-E-G-I-B-B-O, because you can also find me writing, and I say writing, but really it's around about one article per month. Not intentionally, just a lot of stuff are going down. You find me writing for VGTribune.com and NintendoPrime.com. VG Tribune, stay tuned for reviews of games and other pieces of news, whereas Nintendo Prime will be more editorial based, so more creative writing and all sorts. Right, that's where people find us, and that brings us an end to episode 39. Jack, what is our ending music for this episode?
Our ending music for this episode is from Hyrule Warriors. It's the Ocarina of Time boss theme, which is really nice remixed, like all the songs in the game.
They have good remixes.
Really good.
So you should be hearing that around about now. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Nintendo Podcast System. We hope you really enjoyed it. I hope you continue to support the show, and happy gaming.
Happy gaming!